Well, thank you. It is such a privilege to be here, and Patricia is going to take the majority, but I'm just going to share a few things this morning. And apart from the privilege of your hospitality and just, you know, so good, I feel the kindred heart and kindred spirit with so many of you, and we love Jesus, and you love Jesus, and it's all going to be all right. But this morning, you know, the focus that we just really felt is to focus on the area of prayer, and I want to just start with a few things in that regard, because as we know, in the Gospels, the disciples asked Jesus to teach us how to pray. And he said, well, you pray in this way, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. And I feel like that those last few words still represent the desire of the heart of God for each one of us and for the earth, that earth ultimately will look just like heaven. But we're not there yet. Because we're in a place where the wheat and the tares are growing together, where light and darkness both seems to be growing, and where there is gross darkness on the face of the earth, and yet the glory of the Lord will rise upon her, and we're going to see the two come together. And yet, when I begin to look at the place of prayer, I don't know how much you've thought about prayer in your own life, and you probably pray yourself, but do you ever feel disillusioned with prayer? Do you ever wonder, well, why do we pray? You know, does God really answer prayer anyway? And why bother praying if God's sovereign and he's going to do whatever we want? He wants. I don't know if you ever thought that way before, but if God does what he wants, and how many believe God is sovereign, well, then why pray? And so I want to just give a very brief introduction to this, while Patricia takes it to another level, but that is looking back at Genesis chapter 1, because it's always good to start at the beginning when we, you know, begin to have questions about the faith and questions about things like this. But in the beginning, it said, God himself states in Genesis chapter 1, he says, let us make man in our image, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over every creeping thing that crawls upon the earth. And so when he said, let them rule, he's really stating, let them have dominion over the earth. Let them rule. We are to exercise essentially governmental anointing. Now, we were told to do that at the very beginning in creation, but I hope you understand the end from the beginning, because Scripture promises that those that are even faithful in this day and age, those that love Jesus, those that have given their hearts and lives to them, will have the privilege of ruling and reigning with him in the age to come. Now, how many would like to be a part of that? Yeah, I like that idea, right? And so in order to do that, I believe that God is looking at us and saying, well, are you even learning what it means to pray? Because to me, prayer in part is about you and I exercising our governmental responsibility and governmental anointing. Because when we rule and reign with him in the age to come, he is the chief among 10,000s. He is the head of the church. In all things, he will have preeminence. And yet we will rule and reign according to his will, his desire, his likeness, so that earth will look just like heaven at the end of the day. And yet when God said, let them rule at the very beginning in Genesis chapter 1, it was really an indication that mankind was to rule on the earth. And God was stating, I'm actually not going to interfere in the affairs of man. In other words, when there's something wrong, when there's injustice, when there's poverty, when there's war, when there's anything wrong, and there's lots wrong because earth is not like heaven is yet, he's calling upon us. He's saying, it's actually your problem because I said, let you rule, not me rule. However, when you and I, as sons and daughters of the King that have access to the Father through the name of Jesus Christ, begin to engage in this place of prayer, we begin to talk to the Father and we say, Father, we want you to break into our situation. We need your help. We've got an issue in the city of Marion, or we've got an issue in the United States of America, or we've got these global issues or terrorism, and we are asking you to come, and we are beginning to exercise our dominion mandate even here and now in this age, because God moves at the sound of our voice. And he listens to the things that we're asking him and the things that we are desiring and requesting him. And when we read the word of God and understand what the will of God is, we can begin to pray in alignment to that and in accordance with that. And we believe that God comes in and he breaks into the situations. Yes, in his sovereignty, we trust his timing. But I want to encourage you in the place of prayer. In the place of prayer, you are beginning your rulership. You are beginning to rule over the things that really matter to you. And your steward of your authority of stewardship starts with your own being, your own body. What do you allow in your eye gates? What do you allow in your ear gates? You know, what do you give yourself to? You know, do the things of the earth have control over you, or do you have control over them? Speaking to addiction and other things, what's your stewardship like over your marriage, over your family, over your piece of real estate? You know, pastor, you've got a stewardship over the church. You know, and so we need to pray in regard to these things. And so wherever your place of stewardship is, we get to walk with God in prayer, inviting him into the situation, which God himself then will come in and break into the situation. And so just as I pass it on to Patricia, I really want to encourage you, you know, in your place of prayer, don't grow weary in well-doing. Don't doubt your place of prayer, because when you pray, knowing the Father, knowing that you're a son or that you're a daughter, you have authority, he really does move at the sound of your voice, and you are exercising your governmental authority and anointing in your sphere of influence. And when you're faithful in little, he begins to give more because he sees that place of faithfulness. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray you'd release a spirit of prayer upon us. I pray that you would give us a sense of excitement and long-term vision, that as we pray, even in the here and now, Lord, that we will even come alive with knowing that one day we get the privilege of ruling and reigning with you over cities and over even the nations as you give us privilege. And so let there be faithfulness. May faithfulness abound in Marion Christian Center, in Marion, in Ohio, in the United States, and wherever we are, and wherever we lay the soles of our feet, Father, we ask that you give us territory, even in the sake of prayer, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Hey, Pastor Perry and Lois, can you guys stand up for a second? Maybe John can help me too. Let's just pray for these guys, because Father, I thank you for the anointing on them and on this fellowship. And during worship, I just kept hearing that God is saying, I'm coming in Middle America. I realize we're not in Middle America here, but I felt him say, I'm coming in Middle America and in small town America with a great awakening. And so I just want to bless what God does through this fellowship. It's just so much community impact, community impact, community impact. And we just bless you guys as God's giving you vision, even fresh vision for community impact, for what the Father wants to do in this town and in this city to really see revival, a move of the Spirit. Revival fires are blowing in Middle America, in cities like this size in America. And it's like, I feel like God says, I want you to have faith for a great awakening, another great awakening. I want you to have faith for it. And Lois, I bless on you that creativity that's inside of you. I just think that even though, I don't know if you do it in the church or not, but because it's on you, there's creativity that flows through this church, even the arts and the artists. And I think there's going to be more drama and dance and expressions of the artistic through this church. I feel like God says, I want to awaken the arts as it pertains to the church. And I bless your heart, Pastor Perry, for, you know, just for the broken, for the hurting, for the ones with special needs and all of these things. I just feel like God's saying, as you bless them, I'm blessing you. And it's like there's going to be, I see increase even in this church, numerically, even in the community. When the gal was talking this morning about talking to her neighbor about the Lord, I feel like there's going to be more and more of that in this church, that God's going to have people speak to their neighbors and speak to the ones in the community. And I just see more people coming through, more people getting saved, a move of the Spirit. There's fire in the altar of this ministry. And I just bless you with that anointing as you steward it well. Community impact, community salvation. And it's like God's going to do a move of the Spirit in America that's affecting Marion, of an awakening of the Spirit. How can I get saved? How can I get saved? See people saying, how can I get saved? How can I get right with God? How can I get free of this addiction? How can I, you know, get rid of the sin on my life? And I bless this church. I bless the people coming through the doors of this church, and they will be saved and they will be revived and free of addictions in Jesus' name. Come on. Amen. You know, thank you, Lord. I heard stats before coming here of Ohio and just how many are addicted to opiums and to, you know, painkillers that leads to heroin addiction. And for whatever reason, there's a lot more in this state than in other states. And I feel like God's going to turn that around. He's going to turn it around. That there is a move of the Spirit coming to Ohio. You know, we were speaking with Tina and Jason about how, you know, this whole thing, it's Lou Engle and Cindy Jacobs had a word about Ohio and about Cleveland as well, where there's an awakening of the giant. It's like Gulliver's Travel, was that? It's like, there's an, you've heard of that word? There's something about to really come into Ohio that's going to affect the rest of America. And I really believe that God's going to turn this thing of the drug addiction around. In Stratford, where we used to pastor, it was pretty much the worst city of that size, which was 35,000 people, for drugs. Drugs to the high school. I shared on Friday night a little bit about this, but drugs to the high schools, addictions in that city. And it's incredible how we as we began to pray, as we began to cry out to the Lord, even and started a house of prayer in Stratford, it was amazing because one drug house would just get, you know, it would just get discovered by police. Then another one would blow up, literally blow up. And then the seedy hotel known for drug addictions burned to the ground, just mysteriously burned to the ground. Then I mentioned on Friday how the top drug dealer in the city of Stratford, 33 Degree Mason, came to our church and got saved. That took out the drug supply to the city. And I remember reading an article in the local newspaper said, what's happening in Stratford because the war on drugs is turning and they're beginning to conquer the war on drugs. You know, they didn't report about the church was praying. That's what was happening. It's for 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. And so it doesn't say, you know, if the politicians or if the business people or if the, you know, the shakers and movers. It says if my people. Come on, church. You know, you have a stewardship of this town and of this state and this nation. You, sitting in the pew, we have an authority. We have a stewardship. It's our watch. Did you know that? It's your hour. It's our watch. It's our. You're alive, right? Are you alive? Are you breathing today? Okay, you are breathing, and you're sitting in church, and I'm making an assumption you're a believer. Then you have a stewardship in this day, in this hour, seriously, to turn the tide of what the enemy wants to do. It's like God's people saying, no, no, Father. No, Father, we will see the kingdom of God advance. I love, we recently had in our church, you know who Reinhard Bonnke is, right? 74 million people saved now. And his successor is Daniel Kalenda. And Daniel Kalenda was just recently in our church. I remember him saying this, and it just stuck with me. He said, we are the predator, we're not the prey. You know, we are the hunter, we're not the hunted. And he was talking about going into these, you know, these African towns and cities where there's so much voodoo and witchcraft and all kinds of stuff. Curses are put on them. But where they've learned to stand in their authority and see the tide turn, people getting healed, people getting saved, and there always will be a victory. Now, they war, but there's a victory. And I think, you know what I'm feeling during worship? God's saying, the future is bright, church. Your future is bright. And it's something about getting rid of our, oh, woe is me, I've got so many problems, and how am I going to get? And you know, if we're so drained by our problems, then it's hard for us to have energy to see societal impact and national impact. And it's like God is wanting us to conquer, rise up, stand in your authority, get rid of those things that suck our energy, that suck your spiritual strength, you know, just trying to, get healed of this or whatever. And I'm all for healing. I've had lots of it. Because God wants us healed and God wants us living in our authority. And there's something that, actually, Josh, you were mentioning about, you know, say, speak. And I want to share about that today. The power of our words and the power of our agreement with God in our words and what we say, what we speak in prayer and what we speak to one another and what we speak even over ourselves. Do you know that God has this phenomenal plan for you? Yay, if that news, but I think we need to be reminded, don't we? I was mentioning about Friday night about Psalm 139 that talks about in verse 16, it says, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me when there was none of them. Before you were born, God knew your name, knew when you were born, what God's plan for you was. I can give you other verses, but things like Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, creating Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. On and on and on. We could talk Hebrews 10:5-7. When he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. You've prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifice, you had no pleasure. And I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God. And Psalm 40 talks about the same thing. Acts 17, God's appointed where you're going to live and when you're going to live there. You know, one time I had this vision. I was taken up into heaven. I've had this a few times where my body's on earth, but it's like I'm seeing in this realm of the third heaven. And I saw all these books, and this is before I even really understood Revelation 20, which I'll talk about in a moment. But I saw all these books, and I saw books that had like a golden color or hue to them. And somehow I just knew that those were the books of the lives of believers that knew Jesus. And then there was many books, but had like they were gray. I don't know how to describe them other than to say they looked like they had been cast over by a shadow. And I knew that those were the books of people who either did not know Jesus or did not yet know Jesus. And then I'm thinking, oh my goodness, like, what is this place? And by the way, where's my book? I want to look in it. And I didn't necessarily get to read it. But it was like this encounter. And then later I read in Revelation 20, you can read this later, I'm trying to be fast. Do you all turn into pumpkins at 12, or can you go to 12:20 or 12:15? Will you live? Lock the door, please. Lock the door. Revelation 20, it talks about the great white throne and that judgment there. And by the way, we're all going to see Jesus face to face. And it says this, standing before God, and the books were opened. And then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead. Hades gave up the dead. They were judged according to their works. And it says, and this is the second death, anyone is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, there's one book you want to make sure your name is written in, okay? It's called the book of life. Now, but we all have a book of our lives. And this is another story, but we, you know, there are rewards in heaven and those sorts of things. Now, your ticket to heaven is Jesus Christ. And let's all be happy that our judgment fell on Jesus, okay? We're not preaching about works gets you to heaven. That's not what I'm preaching this morning. There was a reformation 500 years ago this year, which was about, you know, return to salvation by grace. And that is true. However, do you know that you've got a destiny and you've got a plan? God has got a plan for you. It's Jeremiah 29:11. The thoughts of God towards you are to give you a hope and a future, a bless you and prosper you. But here's the kicker. We can walk it out or not. We can choose God's way or not. We can, you know, choose to, in a sense, pay the price. In the sense of righteousness and holiness. And I'm going after this, God. What did Paul say to Timothy? Many things. But he said, one of the things he said is this. Wage war for the prophecies over your life. 1 Timothy 1:18. Wage war. Now, does that sound complacent to you? Well, if God wants me to have it, he knows my address. And he knows where to find me if God wants to do that. Does that sound like wage war for the prophecies over your life? It's like there's something that God wants to rise up inside of us to say, I want to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of for me. In the Moravians, who are these, you know, praying 120 years, 24/7, great missionary movement that began in the Moravians, but they had this banner cry, if you will. And what happened was some of their young men had sold themselves as slaves to go and evangelize in St. Thomas, the Caribbean island, because it was owned by a wealthy landowner who would not allow Christianity on the island. And the only way to get the gospel to these many slaves was they sold themselves as indentured servants or as slaves. And as they were on the ship about to leave, some of the mothers and families said, Why would you do this? This is like certain death, basically. And they shouted back this phrase that became the Moravian banner cry. And it was this, that the Lamb may receive the reward of his suffering. We're going to that island to evangelize those slaves because the Lamb that was slain wants to receive the reward of his suffering. The reward of his suffering and the salvation of the slaves. Do you know that Jesus wants to receive the reward of his suffering in your life? For you to walk in fullness of health and healing, and you know, he didn't just die for your ticket to heaven, but for you to walk in health, for you to walk in the full measure of his calling. And so this whole thing about what we say and how we pray has a lot to do with it. I learned this years ago, and it was, my husband was a bank manager. Does he look like he could be a bank manager? He was a bank manager. I married a bank manager. He had a briefcase. He had suits, and he always doesn't wear the suits too much anymore, but we got a whole stack of them. And so, but he had been through Bible school, and we had all these prophecies. I had prophecies since I was 8 years old about traveling and missions and telling people about Jesus and all of that. And I remember, you know, just saying, God, you know, what's the deal? Because the bank had moved us to a town called Listowel, a small town. And he was the bank manager, and I'd given up nursing. I was home with kids. And I just remember saying, God, you know, all those prophecies, and everywhere we went, we get picked out of the crowd and prophesied over about missions and pastoring and all this. And I said, God, what about those prophecies? In other words, what about the destiny that you got on our lives? And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, what are you doing about those prophecies? And I said, I'm complaining. That's what I'm doing. Because where are the prophecies? He said to me, he said, stop complaining about your prophecies and call in your prophecies. And I'm like, I didn't know how to do that. Because I had this passive, you know, whatever will be, will be. If God wants me to have it, you know, that. And it was like, wait a second. I had a revelation that I needed to go after the prophecies over my life. And I needed to go after the prophecies over my family's life. And even now, my nation's life. You know, I have a stewardship over Canada. And so as I began to walk around that house, remember this, 6 months I was doing this. I call forth the prophecies over John and my, I call forth the pastor and my husband. I call forth that ministry calling that you have on us. And God, hey, I remind you, hello, I'm reminding you of your words, okay? And so I want it, God. I'm asking for it. It was 6 months later, John and Carol Arnott, who we'd known for many years, I've known John Arnott since I was 10 years old, founded the church in Toronto. They were drowning in revival. Spirit poured out in January of 1994. And we came on staff in May. They asked us to come on staff in May of 1995. And everything shot up from there, where all those prophecies began to be fulfilled. But guess what? I've got more prophecies. And I've got more things I'm believing for. But I learned a key. I learned a key. I needed to war for it. I needed to pray it, but I also needed to declare it, to speak it. Come on, church, I'm talking to somebody here. The power of your words. It's Proverbs 18:21 that says this, life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. It says in Job 22:28, you will declare a thing and it will be established for you, and light will shine on your way. It's this thing that Paul said, wage war. And he also said this, don't neglect the prophecies over your life. Don't neglect what God has for you. Don't neglect what God has for your family. And so you know what? I just began to think, man, there's power in the way that I speak. First of all, I got to stop speaking the negative. There's step one. And I was raised in a family that had a lot of negative, cutting each other up, humor, sarcastic humor. By the way, sarcastic humor that is cutting should not be part of our families. Eliminate that from your family. It hurts. The words can hurt. And so God began to speak to me about changing my tongue, changing the way I spoke, stop the negative, but then call in the positive. Call in that which God has for us. So, you know, one of the things that we began to speak things like over our children, I have declarations I say over my kids every day, but one of them, we began to say things like, they're homeschooled, but for a period of time, there was this great Christian school where the principal came to our church. And so we sent them to this Christian school. They're going out the door. And we would say, you're the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. You'll lend to many nations and never have to borrow. And everything you put your hands to prospers and succeeds. You're smart. You understand your schoolwork. You're only going to marry who God has for you. And you are going to fulfill the full measure of God's calling for you. And, you know, that little saying stuck such that even now we say it over our other older kids when we get off a Skype or whatever, when you get off a conversation with them. But it was the way that God spoke to start speaking destiny over our children. I want to give you a few quick stats for a moment that I think you might find interesting. Did you know that in America, only 2% of the population is Jewish? 2%. Listen to this. 40% of the top 40 of the Forbes 400 richest Americans are Jewish. One-third of American millionaires are Jewish. 20% of professors at leading universities are Jewish. 40% of partners in leading law firms in New York and Washington are Jewish. 30% of American Nobel Prize winners in science and 25% of all American Nobel Prize winners are Jewish. The percentage of Jewish households with incomes greater than $50,000 is double that of non-Jews. Listen to Israel, 69 years old this year. Formerly barren, broken, desert land. Israel is one of the smallest countries in the world with less than 1/1,000th of the world's population, but it lays claim to the following. Israel is the largest immigrant-absorbing nation in the world per capita, the only country in history to revive an unspoken language. Israel has more Nobel Prize winners per capita than any other country except for Switzerland. It's the eighth longest life expectancy, 80.7 years, longer than the U.S., Germany, and the U.K. The scientific institutions rates third in the world. Space discovery is second in the world. Produces more scientific papers than any other nation in the world. Third highest for female entrepreneurs. It has a $100 billion economy, bigger than that of any of its neighbors combined. It's got the highest ratio of university degrees to the population in the world. Outside of the United States, it's got the largest number of NASDAQ-listed companies. In proportion to its population, Israel has the largest number of startup companies in the world. It's second to any country in the world except for USA, Silicon Valley. It's ranked number one in the world for venture capital. The phone cover was discovered there, on and on and on. We could talk about things. For example, do you know that date palms, this tree, it generally produces 38 pounds of date palms per year. In Israel, which was formerly desert, barren land, it produces 400 pounds per year. Why? Why? Think about it. Well, the blessing of the Lord, yeah. But let me say this. If you've ever been to Israel, I recommend you go. If you've ever been to Israel, and by the way, my tour this November sold out. John's going next year. Incredible place to visit. If you've ever been to Israel on Shabbat, Friday night, Saturday, do you know what happens? You cannot go shopping, all right? You can't even basically get a taxi because it's deserted. Why? Because the families are home celebrating the Shabbat meal. And Shabbat in itself, by the way, Donald Trump's daughter, Ivanka, has converted to Judaism. And they put their cell phones away all Friday night, all day Saturday in her home. They observe Shabbat. What is it? It is where that father is going around the table at the Shabbat meal. And what he's doing, he blesses his kids and he blesses his wife. And he imparts vision to every one of his children. And not only that, but then you got the bar mitzvah at age 13 where it's about blessing of the coming of age. We did a Christian version. It's called a bat baraka, daughter of the blessing for daughters, and bar baraka, son of the blessing for our son. And it's a coming of age blessing. The Jewish child does not think in terms of I should get a job at the bank. The Jewish child thinks I should own that bank. The Jewish mind does not think of, I should get a job at the movie studio. It is, I should own that movie studio. I should be a world-class director directing phenomenal movies. Come on, I'm talking to somebody. But what is it? It's the father. It's the mother. We're imparting blessing. We're imparting vision, speaking life. For every one word of correction in a home of a parent, there should be 7 to 10 words of admonition. You're doing a great job. You're a great kid. I love you. You have worth. The power of what we say. Speak. What does it say in Matthew 11? It says this. Speak to the mountain to be removed. Speak to that issue. Speak to that problem. Instead of saying, wow, my arthritis is acting up again. It's not your arthritis, first of all. Because, okay, it's illegally on your body because there's no arthritis in heaven and there's no sickness and no disease. And by the way, I recommend that you take communion even in home every day. We take communion every day. We even have little travel communion packets. It's because we want to remind ourselves what Jesus died to give us. Come on, church. I don't want to get to heaven and find out there was so much more. Oh, you could have done this and seen that. I want to take as many people to heaven as I possibly can with me. And I want to see my kids thrive and my husband and myself. And I have this thing on my life. I want to fulfill my destiny. Church, I hope you want to fulfill your destiny in God. And there is this aspect of let's watch what we say, how we pray. Let's speak to that mountain to be removed and speak life over one another. What does it say in the book of Revelation? That they overcame him, the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. What's their testimony? Is their witness? What do you speak over somebody else? Hey, I get convicted on this. I need reminding of this too. How do we speak about one another? How do we? What's our witness about one another? How do we speak over our, or how do you speak over your nation? Start blessing America. I am convinced. Heaven's sakes, I'm a Canadian. I'm convinced that you're about to enter into revival years. I believe it. I believe God has not forgotten America. God loves America. He wants to turn the tide of this evil. And that's why I feel like he's looking at middle America and at small town America, where there's more probably percentage of Christians than there is probably in the big cities. But he's saying, stop thinking that the big cities are going to lead the way. Come on. Start believing that God's people will lead the way. Whether they're in big cities or rural America or in some ranch somewhere, it's like God is saying, I hear the prayers of my people. I hear the prayers of my people. And, you know, I sit on Fridays, from what I've seen and what I've heard and what I'm witnessing, you do have a born-again man that is the president of your country. Really? Okay? He probably should watch his Twitter account, but the guy is really, he really does legitimately love God. Talk to Paula White, who's technically his pastor, who speaks about that. But anyways, the point is this, he's not perfect, but he needs prayer. Let's bless him. Let's bless America. Let's bless God's plan, because the enemy's got a plan. And so how we overcome him is by prayer and by the lives we live and the words we speak. Speak to that mountain. How did God create the world? He spoke. He spoke it. And you speaking the word of God over yourself, stop saying, I'm too fat, I'm too ugly, I'm too... No, stop it. It's a negative, it's a self-fulfilling curse. You know what it says in Deuteronomy 30? It says, I've put over you life and death. 30:19. All heaven and earth to witness against you today. I've set before you life and death, the blessing and curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants. If you don't do it for you, do it for your kids. Do it for your kids. Fathers in this house, are you praying for your children? Are you praying for your wife that she would thrive and she would soar? You know, God bless my husband. Come on. He has enough security to let his wife speak and he will sit down. That's a secure man. That's a secure man who prays for me. I pray for him. You know what? If we just kind of, you know, get behind each other and say, let's soar. Let's fly in what God has for us. Let our children fly and soar. What are you speaking? What are you saying? Start speaking some pure scripture. It's no longer I who lives, it's Christ who lives in me. To him who is able to keep me from stumbling, present me faultless before the presence of his glory with great joy. 90-year-old Dorothy. Oh my goodness. I said, I want to look like you, Dorothy, when I'm 90 years old. To him who is able to keep us from stumbling, to keep us like her, loving Jesus when we're 90, or should Jesus tarry, that we walk this walk to the end. And so start speaking it over yourselves. Habakkuk 2:14, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Start speaking the word of God. The knowledge of the glory of the Lord will be over Marion, will be over America, will be over North America. God is moving, and speak life and speak his words. There's so much more to say, but I just want to say that I believe God is wanting to take our tongue and use it for his glory. Yes, and what's the difference, by the way, between declaring and praying? Well, when Jesus was healing somebody, did he say, Father, you know, if it's your will, Father, please, could you possibly heal this person? No, he just spoke it. Why? He knew the will of his Father, so he declared it. He spoke it. And so there's something where when we know God, it's something like we switch out of kind of like that petition thing into the declaration. We know God's will. We know this is his will from his word or from his prophetic word. And we start to speak that thing and declare that thing. You know, we have a daughter, Gabrielle. She's 24 and she lives in Kansas City. So here we have a Canadian girl. By the way, it's a long story, but anybody remember, you know what I mean by The Call? Like Lou Engle has these huge gatherings called The Call. And so there was stadium gatherings. He had one in Detroit in 11-11-11. And we're on the stage. He calls up the Canadians. I'm there. Stacey Campbell's there. Then he calls up the Mexicans. And then he says to the Canadians, I want you to pray for the Mexicans. So we're praying for the Mexicans. And they produced this picture later where I saw this. But I remember saying over one young man, I was prophesying some things over him. And I don't remember all that I prophesied over him, but there was a few things. I said, you're going to have a connection with Canada someday, and you're going to marry somebody, and there's going to be a powerhouse couple that come from that. That turned out to be, 5 years later, my son-in-law. I had never met him before. I didn't even hardly remember that prophecy, but he produces a picture and remembered everything of that prophecy. He hadn't even met my daughter. He met our daughter in, 2014. And anyways, long story, but he looked at her and he said, that's got to be my wife, God. And he fasted for 40 days for her. By the way, there's another thing of dating, and that's a whole other story. Parents, pray for your children. You know, I encourage you to tell your kids not to date, okay? Because what our culture is like, 13, 14 years old, they're starting to date, and it's like, let's have, you know, and it's like, somebody good-looking next to me. And it's contrary to the biblical worldview, which is that relationship was unto marriage. And now I'm not... I'm going to get myself in trouble, but that's okay. So we just said to our kids, you know what? We're asking you to hang out in groups, have fun, you know, be sociable. But when it comes to dating, hey, talk to us. And if there's a guy that asks you out, they have to go through us before you can date them. And so they have, our three kids are married, three at home. They have all honored that. And our son, who, anyways, long story, but he, you know, took a Nazirite vow, dedicated himself to the Lord, super good looking guy. And he just said, I'm not going to date all these girls. I'm not going to do that. And so when we hired a children's worker while he was in Australia at Hillsong College in Music, comes home from Hillsong in Australia, takes one look at her and says, that's going to be my wife. And we're like, we didn't know we hired our daughter-in-law. But the Lord gave me a dream and John too. And so that was his first relationship. That was his first kiss on engagement, first sexual encounter. Second daughter, same thing, this girl that's in Kansas City. When this guy fasted 40 days and he says to us, can I ask your daughter on a date? And I knew that was the Lord. And we knew that the Lord had spoken to us that this was our son-in-law. And so we said, yes, that was her first date. That was their first kiss on engagement, first sexual encounter when they got married. Same thing for the next daughter. Beautiful girls, by the way, who... married a Swiss guy, and she lives in Geneva, Switzerland, teaches in a Christian school, and he works for CERN. But incredible, you know, first date, first kiss. Okay, so it's possible. I'm just saying it's possible. And these precious, beautiful girls are also hanging on to God's purpose for them. Why am I saying this? I just feel like I'm saying that there's a higher way. It's called God's way. And I didn't do that when I was dating, and I was a mess. And so God healed me. God gave me Mr. Perfect and all of that. God's a God of redemption. God's a God. But I tell you something, we've been declaring every day since they were babies, you will marry only who God has for you. You will marry only who God has for you. You will walk in the fullness of your calling. And so here we have a Mexican, amazing, godly man, son-in-law, a Canadian daughter, and they're going to probably someday have an American baby. All right, we got North America covered now, so let's all stand together. It's a time of great turning. It's a time of great turning, and I feel like God's saying it's a time of turning even over personal lives. By the way, I really like this worship guy. What's your name? Justin. Lord, I bless the anointing on Justin. Thank you for the Spirit of God on him. And I bless you, Justin, in mentoring and training and raising up, because God's given you an anointing with youth and young people as well. Even raising up musicians and singers. And I just see you even teaching them practicals, how to play the instrument, how to play the instrument. Some of it is like, and even these guys, they think they're going to be a rock star. They're actually going to be a worship leader. And God's going to, you know, he's going to take you into the lives of people who just want to play music, but it's like they're going to begin to really desire to play it for the Lord, even as you do. And I just bless that Davidic thing, the psalmist, you know, songs that come to you, and just bless the prophetic on you that you're going to start to sing prophetic songs and new songs. And so, Father, thank you for the anointing on this young man and the purity of his heart. So we just bless him. Yeah. God, thank you, Lord, that you're turning things around, God, in our lives, in this nation, in Ohio. Addiction bows to the name of Jesus Christ. There is no problem, no pit so deep that God's not deeper still. There's no sin so bad that he's not paid the price for that, because he has on his broken body. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I just feel like God wants to impart to us today the revelation of the power of our words, the power of what we say, of what we declare, what we speak. And you know, this has been a journey for me, but still yet I say, oh God, forgive me where I spoke out of turn, where I said that thing negatively, or, you know, I just pray right now. Let it be, just close your eyes for a moment, but let there be a release of repentance in this place. God, forgive us, Lord, we've spoken wrongly, where we've slandered, where we've gossiped, where we haven't had your heart when it came to whatever, our nation or our neighbor or, you know, just begin to speak that out. Father, forgive me, wash me, cleanse me. Even, I just read this morning, you know, David, Lord, forgive me of secret sin or of presumptuous sin. Search my heart, God. Search my heart. See if there's be any wicked way in me. Sometimes I don't even get it myself. Sometimes I don't even see it myself. God, search our hearts, Lord. You're cleansing, you're purifying, you're washing, you're breaking generational patterns. You're setting us on a new path. The future is bright. God is moving. Break in, Holy Spirit. Break in, Holy Spirit. When was the last time that you wept in intercession over your destiny? God is wanting to place inside of us such a hunger, such a cry. God, I want what you have for me. God, what's written in my book? What's written in my book? In heavenly places, your desire, your will, your way. 1 Corinthians 3, it's revealed by the Spirit. The Spirit searches all things. He reveals it. Come and break in, God. Come and break in. Come and break into this precious fellowship of believers, these precious ones in this room. Come and break in hope, life, truth, more. Come, come. You know what I'm just feeling to say right now? Is that it's like God just wants us for a bit here now to contend. Is that okay? If you have to go, by the way, go. You've got something in the oven. You need to meet somebody. You're feeling antsy. Then just be free to leave. But for those that are willing, and those that feel this in your spirit, I want you to come forward and let's just, for a moment, you can stand, you can kneel. But I just feel like God wants to place some sort of blanket of prayer and anointing to contend. Contend for destiny. Contend for your marriage. Contend for your children. Contend for your state, your city, your nation. It's just like, I just feel like God wants to impart something of a spirit of prayer. If that's you, please come forward. Just, it's an act of just saying, here I am, God. I want whatever you're pouring out here. I want the anointing to declare life. I think there's something there about that blessing. like the Jewish tradition, blessing. You know, those of you who have older children, it's not too late to begin to bless them. Bless them. Maybe you say, oh, but they're in sin. Oh, but they're in. No, just begin to bless them with the blessing of the Lord and see sin and negativity cast out of their lives, because the blessing outweighs the curse. The light outshines the darkness. Father, I pray right now, God, release something here. In the name of Jesus, I pray for a release. It's like there's a Holy Spirit release of an anointing of contending in prayer. It's contending in prayer. And I want to bless some of you ones here. You've been intercessors for years. You've been praying for your nation. You've been praying for your government. And I just want to bless you, because God has heard and is hearing the cry of his people. Fathers. God is speaking to fathers this morning. Fathers, contend for your family, for your children, for your wife. There's a stewardship anointing. John, could you just pray? There's a stewardship anointing on fathers.
Father, we cry out for the spirit of prayer upon the men, upon the fathers here in this place. Lord, to realize that we have been given a stewardship of being a husband to our wives, a father to our children. I pray, Lord, that the spirit of prayer would be released upon us, that there would be a grace, Lord, to intercede, that you would give the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Christ Jesus, knowing, Lord, that if we don't pray for our wives, if we don't pray for our children, who will? God, I ask that you would reveal and impart the revelation, God, that you have given us this privilege to call on the Lord on behalf of our family. Lord, to call on the Lord on behalf of our children's spouses upon their destiny, Father. Even as Jesus, you spoke in reference to your disciples, your bride, as it were, you said, because I go to the Father, Lord, you will do greater works than these. Greater works than you've even done. Lord, I pray for men who would look on their wives and launch them forward, push them forward to do greater things than even they would do. Lord, I pray for men that would understand that they have a voice before their Father. They have a voice when they wake up at 3 a.m, at 5 a.m, when they get up before they go to work. Lord, to intercede, to seize the moment, to seize the day, to release intercession on behalf of the things that affect their children, their family, their church, their city. Lord, release the spirit of prayer upon the men. I pray for the intercession to arise on every man in this house right now. God, every man, Lord, let them see that they are intercessors, that they are the priests in the home that are able to stand in the gap on behalf of their wives, on behalf of their marriages, on behalf of their finances, on behalf of the pain that they even see in the eyes of their wife, Lord, from even early childhood wounds, not to stand in the seat of judgment, but to stand in the seat of intercession. Lord, pour out that spirit of prayer. Lord, release a man, Lord, a manhood here that is authentic, Lord, that rejects passivity, that accepts responsibility, that leads courageously and invests eternally, even in the lives of their family. Lord, I pray for men who they themselves recognize that they, their own hearts and lives are not where it needs to be. Lord, that there would be a heart that would seek for healing, a heart that would say that I must get my wounds healed up, that I must deal with the issues that cause pain in the lives of my wife, my children. Lord, shake us up today. Shake us up to see the future, Lord, how we can be part of the solution, that we will not be part of the problem, that we would realize that we are entrusted with a stewardship to see the glory of God come forth. Lord, bless the men. Bless the men, Father, to love their wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Lord, men that will bless their children, not curse them, that will speak life, that will speak destiny, that will speak revelatory understanding of the call of God on their lives, that their children, that their daughters would not be looking for love in all the wrong places. Lord, I pray that there would be no famine in the hearts of families here, Lord, for love.
but that, man, we would receive love and we would give it away freely. In Jesus' name, pour out your Spirit on us, Lord. Lord, release a heart after your own heart, to love you on all of us, Father, men and women. Father, upon marriages, bring a grace for forgiveness where there's been areas that have created schisms in the relationship, divisions, where intimacy has lacked because of unforgiveness, because of bitterness, because of misunderstanding. Father, would you come and break in by your Holy Spirit? Would you come, Lord, and heal the woundedness? Heal the pain of the past. Given an understanding that today is the first day of the rest of our lives. That we don't need to hang on to the woundedness of yesterday and yesteryear. Come, Holy Spirit. We just thank you that we are on your team. We are part of your family. Lord, when we get healed up, we can heal the city around us. Healed people, a healed church heals others. When we hurt others. When we're healed, we heal others. Break in Jesus' name. Lord, soften our hearts. Soften our hearts. Thank you for your presence, Father.
An anointing to contend. An anointing. I submit this, but I see something of passivity just coming off, being broken in the name of Jesus. We break everything as it applies to passivity in the spirit realm. There's a passivity, spiritually speaking. It's like, oh, well, it's okay with the status quo. No, it's actually not okay with the status quo, because there's many that there's in this city and in this nation that do not know Jesus. And God is asking for a contending, a spirit of contending, not only for your destiny, but yes, for your destiny. And yes, for your family, but also big picture. So break in now in the name of Jesus. And I pray for a release of repentance. I don't know who, where, how, but for some, it says a cleansing happening this morning. A getting rid of the burden of sin. Getting rid of the burden of that. Whatever it is, just lay it at the altar. Lay it at the altar. Hallelujah for forgiveness. Hallelujah for forgiveness. 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 We exchange our sin for righteousness. We exchange our filthy rags for garments of beauty. We exchange our tears and sorrow for joy. Our shame for double honor. Break in. Break in. Break in. Fire of God. Break in. Fire of God. Fire of God, break in. Power of the Spirit. Power of the Spirit. Spirit of prayer, be released. An anointing to contend, be released. To declare life, be released. To speak to the mountain, to be removed, be released. Be released. Be released. Power of the Spirit. The future is bright. The future is bright. The future is bright. Break in. Break in. Break in. Break in. For some, I just see gifts awakening that you didn't even know were there. Gifts, prophecy, healing, evangelism, gifts, discernment, gifts rising, gifts coming forward. Fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. Break in. Break in. Fire of God.